You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Reverend Uwe Holmer is the director and pastor of an institution housing the developmentally disabled in the small town of Lobetal, north of Berlin. During the political upheavals in East Germany in late 1989, the communist premier, Erich Honecker, was stripped of his position and possessions. He and his wife had no place to go, and he was sick. The Holmers took him in. Pastor Holmer explains how this happened and why an apparent act of charity was really tough love in action.
We are talking today about love, and love can be very difficult, very tough to practice. Could you tell me how it was that Mr. Honecker came into the Holmer home?
We did not beg Honecker to come. Honecker begged the Church of Berlin to give a home for him. And the Church of Berlin asked us if it is possible to give him a home in our village.
I talked about this with my wife, whether she was ready to let him stay with us in our own house. I talked about it with my children, whether they were ready to let him stay in our house and in their rooms. Our children considered this and said, "It's part of our faith that we let a man who no longer has a home stay in our house." We were often asked whether we did not feel a hatred towards Honecker, or rage, or anger towards him. But I must say that when we experienced difficulties, we turned our anger over to God. It was our desire to proclaim the gospel in this country, and we knew that it would be necessary to bear the cross. Whoever wants to proclaim the gospel under communist rule will very likely have to bear special crosses in a special way. And since we were aware of that, we consciously bore our cross, and as a consequence, were able to be forgiving. God was working mightily in our lives, and in our joy, there could be no room for anger or hatred.
Mr. Honecker and his government made life very tough for you and your family. Could you tell us a story or two about how the communist government made your life so very difficult?
Yes.
I'd like to tell, first of all, about the time when I was a pastor in Mecklenburg, a rural area. Around 1959 to 1960 or so, all the farmers were forced to join the collective. The farmers lost their property and the control over their own land. They were forced to join up. We viewed that as an injustice, and we said so. At a major pastoral conference, I said, "What happened to the farmers did not occur by their own free will, as the government now claims, but by compulsion. It is not right to oppress people and force one's will upon them in this way." For some months, a year or two, I was given very few travel permits to see my parents. I had to put up with difficulties as a consequence of my stand. Then came the time when my children would normally be going on to the university. They all had very good grades, the highest grades, but because they were not in the state youth group, they were not permitted to enroll in the university. My children had not participated in those activities in which there was firing of weapons, military exercises, and consequently, they were declared to be not worthy of a higher education. We protested this. We fought this. But neither at the lowest levels of government, nor at the highest levels of government in Berlin, was there any possibility of reversing this decision. So I came to an understanding with God. I said, Lord, I will bear these things for your sake. And for those who cannot see this in any other way, who are so blinded by their ideology, I no longer want to bear a grudge against them, and I want to forgive them. At that time already, I no longer harbored hate and rage in my heart. So when the question arose whether Honecker could live with us, I could, with a relatively free heart, say yes, because I had already forgiven him.
So the Holmer family had the stage set in their lives to practice tough love. The opportunity is present in other lives, too. I suspect it's present in yours. Not that some deposed dictator is going to ask to live with you for a while. No, not that. But the opportunity to practice tough love comes to us all. I'm reminded of people who have been challenged to forgive others. There's the woman who suffered child abuse. Her emotional life has been traumatic ever since. Should she forgive? There's the man who thinks that his brother has cheated him out of his fair share of the family inheritance. When he speaks about it, you can literally see the blood rushing to his face. There are the parents who live in a tough neighborhood in the city. A stray bullet from some warring drug lords killed their child. They should forgive the criminal that so devastated their lives? No, when we've really been hurt, we do not want to forgive. Little offenses, we can forgive and even forget. But when you've been devastated by something serious, it's quite another story. After all, you have your pride. You've suffered so much. Certainly, you're not going to surrender and let your pride be broken too. So you cling to your pride. You comfort yourself with the assurance that you are right, so you assume, and you do not forgive. If a person apologizes to you for the wrong, that sometimes makes forgiveness easier, but only because they appeased your pride. But pride which rejects God's will for your life is sinful, even when you have been hurt. The Bible says, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. When you will not put aside your pride and obey God's will to forgive, you put yourself in spiritual danger. The Bible says, for if you forgive the sins of others, your Father in heaven also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive the sins of others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Yet, having said that, like most people, you still hate the idea of forgiving that person who has wronged you. Stop for a moment and think about how God loves and forgives you, just the way you are, a sinner.
Some Christians in the United States will say, yes, I will forgive him or her if and when they come to me and apologize. What would you say to that?
At an earlier time in my life, I would have thought the same way. But I meditated on this matter in depth. I have not found anywhere in the Holy Scriptures that Jesus requires you to forgive only if the other person has asked for forgiveness. Rather, Jesus asks us to forgive without any conditions. I believe if we do not forgive, regardless of whether the guilty party asks for forgiveness or not, bitterness and poison will remain in our hearts. And that's why the Savior says that we should forgive.
Wir sollen vergeben.
There are many Christians who know that they should forgive, and they would like to forgive, but they don't know how to get the hate out of their heart. That's tough. In what ways were you able to keep the hate from overtaking you?
Das gibt zwei Gründe.
For two reasons.
Der erste Grund,
first, God has forgiven me my guilt, and I live before God as a person whose guilt was forgiven. That is the real joy of my life. I am reminded of Matthew 18. He who himself has received much forgiveness, he may not and cannot live without forgiving. He must also forgive his neighbor. That's why forgiveness is very dear to me, since I live because of forgiveness. Secondly, I have experienced God's love in forgiveness. As a result, I have a duty to show love. So when the question concerning Erich Honecker came to us, I was constrained to help this homeless, helpless man in need. That is, simply in my heart, I feel a duty to help, regardless of the person, a duty to help anyone who is in need.
The Holmers' capacity to forgive was not to be found in themselves. The forgiveness they shared did not come because the Honeckers groveled before them with a pathetic apology. They did not. No, the fact that they could forgive and demonstrate Christian love to the people who had caused them to suffer comes from someplace else. It comes from Jesus Christ. If there's one thing that we can say about Pastor and Mrs. Holmer, it is without doubt that they try to pattern their lives after Jesus Christ. You've heard what they thought and said. They are Christians in the most essential way, forgiven followers of Christ. It's one thing to want to forgive. Many of you would like to forgive someone who has wronged you, but you find that you can't. The ability to forgive, not just wanting to forgive, but to really be able to do it, that comes from a life that knows Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was sent into this world by God to forgive us. You and I and the Holmers are sinners. We may not be guilty of the crimes that the Honeckers committed. We may be respectful as the world sees us, just as it sees the Holmers. But they would admit, just as we must, our hatreds, our jealousies, our envy, our reluctance to love, the anger, the gossip, the covetousness, all which break God's will for our lives. So God sends His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ comes to forgive. Talk about tough love. Jesus, the Son of God, is without fault. His heart is pure. Yet he comes knowing that he will go to the cross and suffer most unjustly. He did nothing to deserve death on the cross, but he endured it because he wanted to bring you God's love and forgiveness. Jesus Christ made no deal with us before he came to die. He didn't say, "If you apologize, I'll come and save you from the eternal consequence of your sin." He didn't promise to rise from the dead and give you eternal life if you groveled before him and tried to make amends. Jesus Christ didn't promise to be with you in your own personal times of suffering only if you did something first to make it easier for him to love you. No, no strings attached. To forgive you for your sins was tough, but God loves you. No matter how tough it was on him, Jesus was bound and determined to bring to you the forgiving love of God. Jesus was crucified and raised to guarantee you forgiveness and the sure hope of eternal life. Is love tough? Sure it is. Consider how tough it was for Jesus Christ to forgive you. And yet he did it. You are forgiven.
Now he teaches you to share that love, even when the sharing is tough. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Many people criticized you and your family for receiving the Hanukkahs. What were some of their criticisms?
Many had experienced great difficulties. One man told me, "It is easy for you to forgive, but I was locked up in Bautzen, a large prison, for 15 years. I had even been sentenced to death." I became silent for a moment, and then I told the man, "I would like to try to understand what you went through. I have forgiven Hanukkah, but that is my forgiveness. You must forgive Hanukkah for yourself. I cannot pronounce forgiveness upon Hanukkah for you. And you really have no other alternative but to forgive. Otherwise, bitterness will remain in your heart and it will poison you." The man was quiet for a moment and said, "Yes, you are right. I also want to forgive." That was one example of the people who spoke with us and in whom we sensed that the consideration of forgiveness was a serious process in our hearts and in our people. And for that reason, all of this was not in vain.
It is tough to do that. And we can talk about it on Sundays in church, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, it is very difficult to do that forgiveness. And the devil would come and tempt you not to forgive, not to love, to keep hate in your heart. When those temptations came, how did you battle the temptation?
Ich habe in meinem stillen Hören,
many times in my quiet meditations on God's word and in prayer, I thought about Hanukkah and the others who fell from power at that time. I still remember very clearly one morning while I was sitting in my study and knew that Hanukkah lived only 20 kilometers away. This thought went through my heart. How can such a man who had reached such great heights, whom the crowds had cheered, and whom they now despise and insult, often far beyond measure, how can he really cope with that? How can he hold up? And I thought, now he needs help for his soul, help for his inner life. And I would gladly tell him that with God there is help and forgiveness. And only later came the request, the question whether we would take him in. And so God had prepared my heart beforehand through his word and through prayer about the question of taking Hanukkah in. So I would answer your question this way: in quietness before God, there comes the power to forgive. I simply know that God will permit nothing less of me. God wants me to forgive, and he loves me when he says that. He does what is good for me when he says that.
Now the question is, can you practice tough love? When the person who wronged you has not apologized, hasn't made it any easier, can you forgive? The Bible says, yes, you can. The ability to forgive comes from experiencing the forgiveness of Christ. That love is not 2,000 years removed. It's available to you every day. God's Word, the Bible, provides the opportunity to get the hatred and the bitterness out of your heart and to fill yourself instead with this amazing capacity to forgive. opening your Bible, and prayerfully examining your relationship with God and Jesus Christ is the way to fill yourself over and over again with the ability to forgive, especially when such love is tough. You can do that. The prophet Isaiah promises God's people that in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That strength to forgive comes from the quietness and confidence of prayer when we really take God's word to heart. I guarantee tough love can bring good. God blesses His forgiven and forgiving people in ways we can't begin to imagine. The parents whose child was killed by a stray bullet, the quarreling family members, the adult harmed by child abuse, these illustrate the countless wrongs in the world that are so difficult to forgive. The hurts you have experienced are real. And yes, it will be tough for you to forgive those who hurt you. Yet God has fantastic promises in store for those who love Him. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good for those who love God. That can happen when you who are forgiven also forgive. The Homers know how true that verse is. Though they would not have expected any good to come from the trials they experienced through all the years of communist oppression, yet they willingly forgave those who oppressed them. They simply bowed their will to God's will. Today, more than ever, they know how God worked a great good for their family and blessed them. Listen.
I experienced God's kindness to my children, and that helped me again to put away hate and bitterness. For all three of my boys, who could not go on to the university, the oldest three, all three of them have become pastors. This is indeed a great joy for the heart of this father. The four daughters who followed all became nurses. They are all doing so well and are so happy serving this way that I say, God, you did not make us poor because we obeyed you.